Welcome to the Six Figure Speaker Spotlight, the podcast where we uncover the secrets of CEOs, entrepreneurs, and visionaries who've used public speaking to skyrocket their businesses and their bottom line. Get ready for captivating stories, valuable insights, and practical wisdom from the trailblazers who've mastered the art of the stage. I'm your host, Kelly O'Hara, and I'm thrilled to bring their experiences and expertise directly to you. Let's get started. Welcome back to the Six Figure Speaker Spotlight, where we uncover how top-tier professionals leverage the power of public speaking to amplify their influence and scale their successes. If you're looking to learn from the best and transform your communication into a powerful tool for growth, this is your go-to podcast. Today, I am thrilled to introduce a guest who thrives at the intersection of entertainment and innovation. Brian Sebastian is the visionary behind Movie Reviews and More, a platform that challenges conventional media narratives through dynamic content spanning entertainment, sports, technology, and the arts. Starting his career on the airwaves of Hartford, Connecticut, Brian quickly became a prominent voice in the media landscape, contributing to giants like CNN and iHeartRadio. And with an impressive tally of over 30,000 movies and TV shows watched and more than 64,000 celebrity interviews, Brian's insights are as extensive as they are unique. His enthusiasm isn't just confined to the media world. It's powered by a lifelong passion for drum and bugle corps, which injects a rhythmic precision into everything he does. Join us as we explore how Brian crafts compelling narratives and connects dots in ways only he can, all while staying true to his motto of making things happen and connecting people along the way. Welcome to the spotlight, Brian.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
I love having you, and I'm excited to hear all about your journey. And I'd love it if, at first, let's go back to the first days at WPOP News Radio and share what it was like when you started in this industry.
You remember Merv Griffin? That Merv Griffin owned that station. So what that was actually was it was a way to break into radio backwards. I went into the news radio aspect of stuff. It was the only one in Connecticut, because it was hard to get into top 40 radio or any type of radio back in 1982 at that point. So I said, let me get in anyway. It was the way backwards to get in. And that made sense that way. And the best thing I could have learned.
Wow. So from those early days, how did that shape your early experience? How did that shape your approach to media and content creation?
It told me I did the right things, and no matter which way going in backwards, which is what I still do things backwards, but it works. It's just another way. Instead of two roads traveled, the road less traveled, the road traveled the most, there's always a third and fourth one. There's the road that's never been built, and there's one that's being thought of that's being created. The one that's being thought of and being created, that's the one that we built. It takes a little bit longer because you're going over more hills and tunnels and around houses and things that haven't been created, but you have to always adapt and adjust to the new things too. That's the road that we built for Movie Reviews and More and Dreamweaver.
So you like the path less traveled?
It's the one that's never even been thought of. That's that path. Think about that one.
So you're a true entrepreneur. You couldn't take it out of you if you tried. So what do you think was the pivotal moment in your career that really convinced you to transition from traditional radio to launching Movie Reviews and More?
Because remember video stores? Where do you think Netflix came from? Reed Hastings came from home video. I came from home video. Quentin Tarantino, Kevin Smith, those directors, actor, producers, they came from home video. We all worked behind the counters. They became actors, producers. I didn't want to do that. I wanted to be someone who helped promote people's the finished product, if that made sense.
So promotion was really important to you.
So absolutely, because it was one of those things I saw what people weren't doing on things. That's what it was. So if they weren't doing it, I wanted to do it. So it's almost don't leave dollar bills on a table, collect everything off the table.
So do you think that was one of the biggest challenges that you came upon that was really part of the trajectory of your career?
I wouldn't say it was one of the big challenges. It was like people don't always understand an inventor or an entrepreneur when you're starting out their vision of stuff. I can see things that other people can't see, if that makes sense. And I wonder, why aren't they doing it this way? It could be done this way efficiently and faster and safer. And people don't think like that. Like I do everything we've done it without a website. I use Dreamweaver website instead of me having one. I don't want to do that much work. I'm a TV and radio guy and I'm not a writer. That's why I admire writers and authors. I couldn't write to save my life, but I can talk you into something that's different. And I could be one of the best in the world at doing that, which is what we are. Yesterday, for example, actually 2 days ago, we ended up on a Variety Entertainment News. We finished 17th in the country on summer hot picks for TV, radio, podcasts. I've never even submitted a show. So we keep ending up on all of these lists, best influencers, best males, which drives me nuts because all my co-hosts are women. So that event doesn't make sense. I don't do this by myself. If it weren't for you women, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing. So you've got to give hats off. You've got to give thanks to the people that are helping you, if that makes sense.
Bravo to you. I love this story. This is a great part of this story. I like a man who appreciates women. That is terrific. So I want to hear
I got to tell you why, though. I found out in 08 during the housing bubble, when I said, if things are changing in the housing bubble and the government at that point, I'm like, it's time to change what we're doing because there's trends. If you can see the trends coming outside the U.S., eventually it makes its way to the U.S. And people don't think like that. So I know what it's like to travel on my own. I know what it's like to travel as a single Black male. And I know what it's like seeing the world through different versions of things, if that made sense. And it was women in the world of fitness and women in the world of dressage that maybe want to help women-owned business and small mom-and-pop businesses because they weren't getting the recognition. They were spending a lot of money on their horses, on diesel, on things like that with no publicity to help them in the end when they won. And I said, this is the travesty. This is not right. I don't want to see this. And if I'm the only guy out there helping women at a horse show and they don't get the support at a fitness show and they're spending all this stuff on a makeup, bikini, travel, and you get little in return, I don't want to see that. So that's what started me off with that. And that's why we're where we are. I still helped them when it comes to women in the world of dressage and women in the world in fitness. Yeah, they didn't have any magazines. There was no TV. There was no radio out there. And I thought that was a travesty when it came to that. So I said, let me change this. If I'm seeing this, why isn't anybody else seeing this? I said, let me be the one to help these women because they work hard spending money on saddles, on their boots, on their hair and makeup to look good on their horse. That's a lot of stuff, and even including hay. And I said, wow, I don't ever want them, just because they're a woman, not to get support. And that's when I decided to change things.
I love that, actually. That's even personal to me because I have a sister that teaches dressage and is in dressage and is training people in dressage and in riding and jumping. And so you're absolutely right. There's not enough exposure these days to really help those individual riders. So good to hear.
Think how much money they spend on doing all of this. It's a lot.
It's a fortune. It's a very expensive sport, I can tell you. Okay, so let's move on to another passion of yours, which is you're really a big fan of drum and bugle corps. And I'd like to know a little bit about that and how that interest of yours has influenced your career in media and your approach to entertainment. How do the two go together?
I didn't know this until not too long ago, but the world of drum and bugle corps, it was a way of getting kids off the streets in the early days. It started with the VFW, CYO, kids, getting, you know, people returning back from the wars. They needed something where people get together. So if you think of the United States Marine Corps band, that's a drum and bugle corps, the Commandant's Own. A lot of those are drum corps members now. And it's one of the things, the US Navy band, the Coast Guard band. I watched these people as I was growing up, but it was one of the things, how do you get into that? So when I saw the world of drum and bugle corps, the only activity where you could travel in a 3 or 6 week period, 10 to 12,000 miles on a school bus or chartered buses, performing each night in a different city. You're rehearsing 10 to 12 hours in the hot sun in a different place across the country in the summer. Imagine that. Now, if you aren't disciplined and you don't, your job is to perfect that show and you make little changes here and there, and then you go up against the best corps across the country. One of my best favorite corps, you're in Orange County, used to be the Anaheim Kingsmen. They won the very first one in 1972. A lot of us people we're still friends to this day. My favorite drum corps is Santa Clara Vanguard in Santa Clara, California. And so when I see these people, these are kids. who've chosen to go on tour. They pay to go on tour to perform every night. What kids do you know that do this? In return, what do you get out of that? Performing in front of stadiums full of other drum corps fans, people who march, parents. If you think of any high school band now, whether it's in college or whatever the case may be, look at what they do. Always practicing, always perfecting. And that's what I did. And then I didn't think of that I took what I learned in drum corps into what I do for the shows and all the stuff and things on social media. Always perfecting things, being able to adapt and change and put out the best product that you can. And then educating other people about it also.
Oh, I love that. That's a beautiful tie-in to this, to everything that you're doing. I love that. So let's see. Let's talk about movie reviews and more, because that's the big stepping stone into this magnificent thing that you've created. And for those that are unfamiliar, why don't you describe what Movies and More is, what it is, and how it stands out in today's media landscape?
Let me start with the more part. It started with movie reviews. Remember Siskel and Ebert, two thumbs up, two thumbs down?
I
They're not
do.
alive anymore. So it's one of these things where I knew the more was going to be the most important of aspect in October of 1993, but I didn't know when. Could you think of that you would be doing Zoom interviews and where you are with you and Jackie and the team, or what you're doing 30 years ago? And the answer is no, you didn't know. All I knew is that there were going to be changes, but we didn't know what changes. Think of the dot-com change before 2000. Think of these young influencers, which is what they were, creating stuff. Think of Sean Pennington, who created Napster, changed the whole music business. Think of Netflix changing the whole streaming services. And like I said, Netflix came out of home video stores. They're not around. There's very few left in the country. There's only one Blockbuster, and it's in Alaska. And they're doing everything to remain being there. They still survive, and people come out to support them. And it's called The Last Blockbuster, on a documentary if you want to see it on Netflix. But it's one of those things where I saw these things coming. We started out recommending people to go see movies. Remember, people would come into video stores. I had to see everything, which is what I still do today. I'm a movie whore. You send me a movie, I'm going to watch it. That's my passion. You send me a book, I'm going to read it, because I know a lot of people don't make the time to do that. It's not easy to doing all the things that we're doing now and doing interviews. We were doing this back in radio. Now everybody, almost everybody has a podcast. And I still call it TV radio podcast in that order, because that's really what it is. But you didn't know that everybody's going to have that. So when it came to streaming services, every channel has a streaming services now. But the thing is, not everybody has the eyeballs. That's the challenge. So how do you stick out in a different way to get those people to come to your channels? Well, we talk about the world of dressage. The world of drum and bugle corps starts at the ages 18, the age out of 21, but you have an all-age court. That means I have the audiences of ages 12 to 86, because in a senior drum corps, you can march calling the American flag on a football field, because it's the activity that you enjoy, being out there with the people doing that. You may not be able to move with sore knees, but you can still hold the American flag or still twirl a rifle. So I've got that audience. And so I said, I'll take that audience. So the world of art, art shows, art collectors, the toy industry. What was the number one movie last year besides Oppenheimer? Barbie. Where did it come from? The toy world. So when I'm out there at these things, there's no press at a lot of these events. Hence, I learned this back in 08, the world of dressage, the world of fitness. When we go to the Olympia or any of the fitness shows, you're in Orange County again. Anaheim has some of the world's best fitness people, besides the people that go to Gold's Gym. You put all those worlds together, think about the numbers. Who is the number one marketer when it comes to movies? Still, Arnold Schwarzenegger. Every movie he did was the best. Where did he come from? The world of fitness. You talk about the Arnolds, everybody in the world of fitness knows who's Arnold Schwarzenegger is.
Sure.
Think about that. So when you see a documentary on him going back in the world of movies, this is my world, everything. Now I'm going into the speakers world. Imagine when I capture that. Give me a year working with you and Jackie, the things I'm going to learn from you guys and tightening things up. Imagine where I will be.
I love this, and I love your enthusiasm and your perspective, which is really completely unique. You're very good at putting the pieces together. And having a broad vision and then knowing how to bring it all together. In today's times, with such a vast audience, how do you ensure that your content remains unbiased and fresh?
Because we never have any tape shows. We're always live, no matter where I am, cross country. I have one computer. I actually travel with two computers. I travel with it in the big Louis Vuitton bag when I go through customs or TSA because I don't want it to get lost in my suitcase. And I wrap plastic around it. So one is my Tuesday night show, whether I'm in Tennessee, Georgia, Atlanta, Chicago, Texas, California, Nevada, it doesn't matter. We never miss a show. There's only been two shows that we missed, not on our end, one in the last 4 years, because yesterday was show 25 that we did, 101 live shows in a row. We go straight throughout the year. Nobody does that. That's why we end up on these lists. Nobody does that. Most people take the month of December off. We don't. We go straight through the year. We're the first ones to broadcast the beginning of the year. Why? Consumer Electronics Show. You know it as the CES show in Vegas. We're the only ones that broadcast in the Mandalay Bay on that Tuesday as the show starts Wednesday. We've done that the last 4 years.
Wow, that's on fire. All live, and the first set, everything. That sounds very exciting. You've got a real interesting spin on this. But let me ask you, of all the things that you've done, and especially if you're working live, what's the most unexpected lesson you've learned while running movie reviews and more?
Is that technology is good when it works, not so good when it doesn't. So what do you do? So I don't use notes when it comes to my show because we've had technical problems, but we still made it work. As this, we were having tech problems. So I learned just go with it. Be able to adapt and adjust. You do that, you'll be okay. And be consistent. And most people are not consistent. They get tired of doing a podcast after three or seven shows because they realize how much work it is to do it. And they go, I want to be monetized on YouTube. Think about this one, Kelly. I had 1 million views on my YouTube channel before I had 1,000 subscribers. Now, YouTube didn't congratulate me when I had 1 million views. Guess what? They congratulated me. Congratulations, you have 1,000 subscribers. I said, what about my 1 million views? What's a bigger number? 1,000 subscribers or 1 million views? I don't know about you. I'm going with 1 million views.
Yeah, exactly. That's very exciting. You've done such a good job with all of this. And now I'm going to flip this a little bit because I want to talk about the power of public speaking. You are in a position here to really be able to share with the audience how public speaking began for you, but how it's changed your life and also the people that you interview all the time. What does it do for them?
Because I love what I'm doing. And that's the difference. And I know always take that person that's not getting publicity. I learned from Samuel Jackson one day interviewing. He goes, I'll read any script, even if it comes from my gardener. And so if you think about it, Samuel Jackson is in everything. He's in commercials. He is every Merkel. He's the real 6 degrees of separation, not Kevin Bacon. And I've told Kevin Bacon that. Kevin, you're 6 degrees of separation. I'm actually seven because of all the other stuff they were doing. And he laughed at it. He thought it was funny. But that's really what it is, doing everything. Most people of color, I take rappers for example, we call it branding. They call it hustling. It's one of those things you got to go out here and do this. And all of a sudden, you see a Shaquille O'Neal doing a commercial for the General. He's doing, what is it? He owns the, what is it? I think it's 173 restaurants he owns. This is a guy. He used to be a basketball player. He's an honorary cop. He does everything. He's constantly helping people. That's just him. So there's a lot more people like that. So I would be just the latest one, but I'm not famous. I did it without a book. I did it without a movie. I did it without a website. In other words, I did it backwards. You're not supposed to do it that way. And if you could say, if it's about an email list, we have 12,500 if you want to count an email list. But for me, it's really business cards from all the people that have come towards me from all the stuff that we've done. So it's flipped, if that makes
It
sense.
sounds like through this interview, everything is a little bit flipped backward. You do it everything in a different order. So public speaking, obviously everything you do ends up being some level of public speaking, some level of getting out and speaking to new audiences, even when you're in the band, you go ahead and use every platform that you have and maximize it by creating relationship within that platform, yes?
Yeah, a good drummer, whether it was Buddy Rich or Louie Belsom, he let his drums do the speaking, right? You never really saw him speaking, but you knew when he was drumming, that was his way of speaking. So for me, everything started when I picked the film. called The Last Ride. And it was through my friend Eric Zuli that I met Edie Hand. She's my Southern mom. And it was about her family. I didn't know she was Elvis Presley's cousin. I didn't know she actually lived in Graceland. I didn't know any of this stuff. I just picked a film from a woman who was enthusiastic. She said, Brian, I got a movie for you to watch. And I said, everybody's got a movie for me to watch. I didn't know that she was Southern royalty. We put it in the Hollywood Film Festival when I was running it in 2014 with Brad Parks. And it was one of those things where we had women in film and television come up from Tennessee, because she goes, Brian, I want you to go to Tennessee. I go, what am I going to do? How am I going to help the people from Tennessee? They don't need my help. They're already famous. They're already rich. What she meant was, I want you to come to Tennessee. I want you to meet my people, meaning her people that knew her from Elvis, the group, people from the Grand Ole Opry. Nashville is the busiest place, not Vegas. I've noticed that in 2018. And so when I go there within the next 2 weeks, I'll be there for the CMAs. I'll be there for Bernie Taupin for a month because of his art and things like that. So it's the people that you meet from the people that you know. So they wanted me to be the people. So when they pass on, and she's a four-time cancer survivor, that their people are in good hands that she introduced me to, if that makes sense. And that was an honor, which led to me speaking on film festival panels or Southern women in film and television. So I would bring my co-hosts, all women, to women in film and television. I'm not a woman, even if I wanted to be, I'm just not. However, I can help support them in a different way. And that's what I did, speaking on those panels, filling those rooms. And that was great. Hey, come on in. We're talking about social media. We're talking about movies. We're talking about how to better the state of Tennessee for a person who doesn't live there. That's what we did.
That's an accomplishment. And you're clearly a man. You are a master connector. It is quite obvious. And while you're reflecting on this career that you have so much incredible enthusiasm for, and that it's just expanding, sounds like exponentially, what advice would you give to your younger self if you were just starting out again?
That you're on the right path and just keep doing it. You will get there.
Just be fearless and keep going. Just keep going. I have a question. Of the accomplishments that you've had so far, what do you think, what would you say you're most proud of?
That I was able to just stay with it, because I know what it's like to be looked down upon, whether it's the color of my skin or because you don't belong, or what are you doing here? Because someone takes a chance and just simply invites you. I know what it's like to be in the 1% now, just by going, again, choosing a movie, being invited and going to Houston to be into generational wealth. Not in Los Angeles. This generational wealth is different, which in New York, and I grew up in Connecticut, of seeing it in Texas, where you have that different type of money. Just because I picked a film, they give me a whole table, which would have been, I think, a $1,500. And then you're being introduced to all of these people that you would have never known you knew that you would have met a different way. Everything for me has always been film related, or in the world, the drum corps, and then mixed in. So that's why I say my worlds, everything comes to me this way. I'm just sailing forward, still upward, but at the same time, people look like falling in line, like I'm the Pied Piper in a way, because I don't do this for me. I do this for the people who are like me that will look down upon, whether it's the color of the skin or they're a woman or they just couldn't get the break from someone. That's why we do all of the stuff that we're doing. That's the more part of movie reviews and more. The movie reviews was just a way to start. The more part is what takes you every place else.
So how do you want to be remembered in the context of the contributions to media and culture? How would you like to be remembered?
Someone who did it his way, as Frank Sinatra would say, I did it my way, but I also did it backwards and it worked. And if I could do it this way, you could do it this way too. So when someone says, oh, I got to write a book first, I'm like, no, you don't. I don't have a book yet. I have a ghostwriter writing my book. And I'm a terrible writer. That's why I admire writers and that's why I help authors. When someone says, I haven't written a song yet, don't worry about it. When you get a heartbroken, you will write a song, because all the most famous songs are from heartbreak. They are. Achy, breaky heart, all of them. So when I meet these people and I do one-on-ones, I ask for all of my friends who can't be there, because I would bring my friends into interviews that they should have never been there, because I simply wanted to help encourage them.
That's a wonderful way to be remembered, because there's a lot of give in what you do. You really are reaching a handout to bring people with you as you go. And I think that's pretty spectacular. What's coming up for you that you're most excited about that you'd be willing to share with us?
I'm on tour right now until mid to late July. So I started, 2 days after the Oscars? So it was March 10th. So that's a long time without being on or in a rock band to be on tour, to doing stuff. But I'm really helping a lot of my friends. I'm going to make sure that they're okay because there's more mental problems now in the world. People are having health problems. People are older. I've never caught COVID because I saw it coming. I knew it was coming. I just didn't know what the name of it was. And when you get some of the world's best technology, you take advantage of it. So I love telling people things are coming down the pipeline that they may not see, they may not know that even exist. And that's what makes me happy. So by creating all these things, going to Tennessee, going back to California for the Electrify Expo, going back for the ESPY Awards and doing those things, popping in after the Jewish Film Festival, the Greek Film Festival, Dances with Films, all of those things, because you get invited and they want you to be there because of your numbers. It's all about helping those artists no matter what. That's the real thing of why we do the things that we're doing. That's why I want to be remembered that way, always helping somebody.
I love it. That is so exciting to hear what not only a broad perspective, but how inclusive it is. And that's got longevity to it. So I know that you brought our audience a gift that's very unique to you. I'd love it if you'd share with them what's available for them.
So for me, when I go to events, sometimes you're allowed a plus one. Sometimes they say no guests because they've cut back on things. They use COVID as an example, as an excuse, but that's not really the case. I always want to motivate people in a certain way. So if I say, if you can meet anybody you wanted to meet who inspires you, who would it be and why? I can tell you when I'm going to talk to that person or interview that person, or if they're already my friend, when you can meet them so you could be inspired for them to take it to the next level. Because a lot of people, they may have plateaued at the age of 28, but what about the rest of your life? Everybody has to be inspired a different way. Sometimes it's something that you might not be thinking of. Sometimes it's a book. Sometimes it's a person speaking. Sometimes it's music or it's a movie, whatever it takes. But what if I can introduce you and bring you to that event? That will change your life. You will never forget that someone did that because we do what other people don't do. I've taken people to, whether it's my camera people, a father and daughter camera crew who were great, to the Jon Bon Jovi Carers for during the Grammy week, and they got a chance to do everything. They got a chance to meet people they would never get a chance to meet. So for me, I hate doing red carpets. I might take, Kelly, I could take you. Hey, you want to come do some interviews or movie reviews and more? How would you like to do that if you've never done that? So these are all first. These are different ways to inspire people. How'd you like to go to Tennessee? How'd you like to go to Tyler Perry studio in Georgia? How'd you like to see a private tour? Who doesn't like to do something that's private, that's unique? These are the things that we offer people that no one else gets to do.
That is so exciting. I just love that. And you're right. There's a couple things I thought of. I thought, wow, that's a place that people would say, that's a once in a lifetime. You would never forget that. And how great that you can provide those kind of things. So I will say, Brian, it has been a pleasure speaking to a true movie buff like I am too. Get me a movie any day of the week. I'm very much movie oriented. So I love it that you came on the show.
I got one question to ask you. What's your favorite movie of yours and why? It is Movie Reviews and More.
Okay, I'm going to give you my favorite movie of all time. Because I have a top 10 and I've watched the top 10 over and over again. But if I pick the movie that is a religious experience for me, it was It's a Wonderful Life.
Jimmy Stewart, excellent film.
I think it's what it's all about. And I watch it and I've probably seen it, probably 50, 60 times in my lifetime. And I love the message behind it. And it calls to me in the middle of the year, not just at Christmas, that this is how a life is built. And sometimes you should take a moment and look back because it's magical how you touch other people's lives. So yeah, I love that.
But all right, Kelly, you know where I would take you?
Tell me.
You know where I would take you? I would take you to the TCM Film Festival next year and you would be part of us. Woo! And you see all the classic people and you get a chance to talk to the remaining people that are alive to talk about how they worked on those films. And that's great. And you would also meet Ben Mankiewicz and you would go on the Warner Brothers studio tour.
How fun. And I love how you put these things together. You are a fascinating person. And I'm just delighted to have had you on here. And I appreciate you peeling back the curtain on movie reviews and more and sharing what truly, you've got a really expansive journey from radio waves really to the digital age. So for our listeners who want to explore the innovative and engaging world that Brian has created and is continuing to create, head over to Movie Reviews and More, and you can find his show on YouTube and go to dreamweaverarts.org. Be sure you use .org. It's a treasure trove of insightful and unique content that promises to enrich your understanding of entertainment and beyond. It's just so much more. It's one of the key takeaways I got from today's discussion is Brian's approach to staying fresh and relevant in a fast-paced world of media. He's always thinking about how to connect the dots, do it differently, what's needed. So your commitment to producing really unbiased, engaging content that breaks the mainstream mold, that really sets Movie Reviews and More apart. And it really challenges us to think about media differently because we sure do consume it daily and with a passion. I am one of those people. On the weekends, oh my gosh, I can't live without it. I'd go crazy. So thank you very much, Brian, for being here.
Thank you. And as I would always say, if you see someone out of smile, please give them one of yours because the world needs it.
Perfect. Perfect way to finish this up. That's a wrap for today's episode of the Six Figure Speaker Spotlight. And thank you all for tuning in and being part of our community. It's really your engagement is what keeps this show thriving. So if you found today's show interesting, engaging, makes you curious, please share, love it. If you'd love to subscribe, your support means everything. It lets us know how we're doing. And I'd love to give a special thank you to our sponsor, SpeakerTunity.com. Whether you're a seasoned speaker or you're just starting out, SpeakerTunity provides the tools, resources, and direct contacts that you need to elevate your speaking career and make your voice heard on all new platforms. So this is Kelly O'Hara, your host, signing off. Remember, every microphone is a chance to change the world. Seize every opportunity to speak up and share your message. And as always, I look forward to our next conversation. See you next time. I want to thank you for joining us on this episode of the Six Figure Speaker Spotlight. We hope you enjoyed this deep dive once again into the remarkable stories and insights of our incredible guests. Their experiences and wisdom are not just meant to inspire you, but to provide you with actionable steps to take on your own path to success. Remember, you have a story to tell, and your voice has the power to transform your business and make lasting impact. If you found value in today's episode, be sure to subscribe to the Six Figure Speaker Spotlight wherever you get your podcasts so you never miss an empowering conversation. We'd also appreciate it if you could leave us a review and share the show with your friends, colleagues, and your fellow visionaries. Until next time, keep speaking, keep growing, and keep reaching to make your difference. This is Kelly O'Hara, signing off from the Six Figure Speaker Spotlight.